Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, it's been a wonderful, wonderful snow a few days.
Yeah, that's a loaded question.
That's right. I mean, you know, I've seen everything.
Yeah.
I've seen snow. I've seen sleet. I've seen llamas covered in snow.
Oh.
You know, Puppy got a new coat with fur on the collar.
Oh.
Where she could go out, you know. She's never had a coat on, but she liked it. She liked the snow. And, you know, she didn't know what snow was.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what snow was. I hadn't seen it in a while.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, and then this kind of thing, you know, where this just like lingers, this is the kind of thing that takes me back to, oh gosh, what was it? 19, was it ish? Somewhere in through there when we had that last
18
one.
Or 19 when we had that ice storm.
Yes.
But remember, 2010 is when we had that snow. I think it was 2010 when the snow was so deep.
Yeah.
I was in Midland and was going to come back to Dallas, and it took a day to get home.
Really?
One day. It was so bad and so deep. So I haven't seen snow in a long time.
Well, this is our refresher course. Remember me?
That's right.
Snow's
and
they
said, stay off the highway. And I said, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
It's not a problem.
You learned your lesson last time.
That's right.
Heed that warning. Wow.
But it's been interesting. I've watched the news. I've watched a lot of things in the last 2 days.
Yeah.
You know, while the snow was coming down. And watch people, silly people, get on the freeways.
Oh, geez.
When it said, do not get on the freeways, so it is too slick out there.
Yeah. I mean, that's just dangerous. I mean, my gosh. It's like you get that kind of sleet and snow and ice, and it's just, you know, the temperatures are that low. It's like, you know, I know that it doesn't happen very often. But boy, when it does, it seems like it makes a lasting impression in my brain. And so the next time it comes around, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm not going to try to be a hero. I'll stay home. No problem. Wow.
That's right.
Jeez. It's just, and I know that every year for the last couple of years, I've been a little bit gun-shy. I'm like, oh, gosh, you know, it could be, you know, it could be like it was, you know, the last time we had all that snow and ice, and we never get it. And now, boom, here it's here. And it's like, I guess it's kind of like that long lost friend that comes around every couple of years. It's like, surprise.
You're right about that. We know the school said, we don't know how bad it'll be, if it'll be bad. Oh, well, we're going to make an executive decision. School's out.
Yeah.
Next 2 days, we'll not have any school.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I wasn't going to send the children to school anyway. I knew how bad it was going to get.
Yeah. I mean, when they say stay off the road, that means, you know, the buses and the schools. And I mean, that includes all that. So not just adults. It goes for kids, too. So it's dangerous for everybody.
That's right. And they said, you know, the roads are slippery. And they meant it.
Yeah.
And you count up the wrecks that happened during those last 2 or 3 days. And it shows who's smart and who stayed home.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't it, oh gosh, I want to say, and I can't remember what year it was, but didn't you say that people were out on the interstate and then it froze over and people were just like stuck there for, was it
they
hours?
They were stuck there for hours and hours.
I mean,
they couldn't move. They were just sitting there with their cars running. And keeping warm, but they couldn't get any traction. The ruts were so deep on the freeway, you couldn't move.
Yeah. I mean, I still remember that story.
Gosh. And I remember in Amarillo that year. I had to go out to Amarillo, and it took hours to get down the freeway to get to Amarillo.
Oh, yeah.
The ruts were so deep, and the snow drifts were so deep. And I learned a lot of lessons. Don't do it.
Yeah.
If somebody says, I've got to see you, you say, I'll see you in the spring.
Hit me up around Easter.
You know, I'll see you in the spring, but not during snow time, let me tell you.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything that's worth getting out and risking yourself with that kind of
thing.
There
is nothing. I mean, if you want to live to fight another day, stay home.
Yeah. I remember one year, and I want to say it might have been 18 or 19. I can't remember. But I remember that, you know, they said, okay, we may get some winter weather. It was one of those the night before that was kind of like iffy. It's like, well, we might, it's possible. So I got up and I had to be at the radio station at like 5 a.m. And I remember I got up a little earlier. I got up at like 2:30-ish, something like that, just to see. And you could tell that there was no movement. There wasn't a sound anywhere. It was just solid ice. And so it took about an hour and a half to get about 2 miles down the street. I just crept along, you know, as slow as I possibly could and hoped that I didn't, you know, hit something that would, you know, send me flying. Unfortunately, nobody else was out, you know, at that time of morning. But boy, I remember that. It's just dangerous, and there's nothing you can do when you're on that ice like that.
And that's right. And once you start sliding, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to slide forever. I remember one year I just bought a new car, and I was going down to take my child, my little boy, to school. And this old car hit me. I mean, it's always somebody with no insurance, no nothing. My car was in the shop for a week. I mean, you know, you have to learn from these lessons, you know.
Yeah.
If it's bad out, don't risk it. Your life and limb and your car. And if you need your car, you know, remember, it'll be in the shop for a week or two if somebody hits you.
Yeah, if you're lucky. I mean, if it's one of those where there's a lot of people out and there's a lot of cars that need to be repaired, it might be more than a week or two. So.
Well, and you know, I heard someone say the other day they weren't taking any additional customers because they didn't have the manpower to do the work.
Really? Wow.
Yes. They said they just didn't have the work. And, you know, Cowboy Chicken is one of my places to go. And usually I can order things from them. And they said, Faye, we can't even get delivery drivers. Nobody
really?
Wants to work.
Really?
Yeah. They said, we no longer can make a delivery. And I was shocked. And then to hear a car repair place say they can't get any help. And they said, we cannot take any additional business. Because we just don't have the help to do the work.
Wow, it's kind of like one of those double-edged swords. It's like, well, I'm glad they're busy, but you know, when they're at that point of, you know, expanding and growing and things like that, and they don't have the bandwidth to take it on. That's always one of those things. It's almost heartbreaking in some cases.
Well, and Party City closing is really hard on us.
Yeah.
I mean, we buy our costumes there. We buy our balloons there. We buy so much at Party City. And now that they're going out of business, it'll never be the same.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody going to take their place. I mean, what will we do? I mean, for balloons and costumes and candy.
I'm almost willing to bet, and don't take this, you know, to the bank or anything like that. But I'd be willing to bet that they reorganize and do something strictly online. Hopefully, maybe.
But how can you order balloons online?
Explain
that to me.
I can't.
I mean, they blow up the balloons for the kids.
Well, I don't know. Maybe there's a maybe they deliver a helium tank with it or something.
I don't know. But I know that I thought they did a tremendous business. And they said, you know, after 40 years, they're closing. So that's a shock.
I was shocked to see that. I did see that Big Lots had done something to say, I think it was like 150 stores that were fixing to close, and they had done something, worked out some kind of a deal or something to keep those 150 stores open.
Yeah, somebody is going to take it. they were closing them because, you know, they're broke.
Yeah.
And they were trying to sell it, and they said the sale didn't go through. And then something else happened, and they said they were going to be able to reopen.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means for sure.
I don't know either. But it's like, golly, it's almost like, you know, at least a couple of times a week, you go and you see something about some iconic store or chain of stores is closing, or they're shutting down all of them, or they're closing like 150 stores, or, you know, slimming back or something. It's just overwhelming that this cycle just keeps going.
Well, and you know, some of the big restaurant chains that owns like maybe 50,000 Burger Kings or whatever brand it is, probably not Burger King, but the hamburger places, you know, they're not owned by franchisees anymore. It seems like it's a conglomerate owns it.
Mm.
And I don't think they know how to run them, because a lot of them are you know, bankrupt now. And this one guy had franchises for Pizza Huts. He had the hamburger chains had all this, and they're in bankruptcy now. And it seems like when the big boys come in and buy all this stuff, you know, they're in New York City or New Jersey, and they can't run these things.
Yeah,
they don't know how to run a restaurant.
Yeah, and they don't know how to do the daily operations. But then it's like there's always seems to be some kind of change in ingredients or suppliers or something like that. And usually it's not.
I think
for the
they
better.
Cut out all the good stuff.
Yeah.
And put some kind of cardboard in.
Yes. I saw something. It wasn't cardboard, but it was very slow. I saw some article the other day about it listed a whole bunch of restaurants that I can't remember what the title was. I should have saved it, but it was something like, you know, you'd be surprised at how many restaurants aren't using actual real eggs in their you know, menu.
I had never heard that. That would be something.
Yes, and it was restaurants that you know.
Are they using powdered eggs?
I don't know. They didn't. They said that it was mixed with something else. It wasn't like a quote whole egg. So,
oh gosh,
yeah, and I can't remember. I want to say, and then they listed a bunch of them. I think it said that McDonald's uses real eggs, like 100% real eggs. But it listed a whole bunch of other restaurants as well. Like there's Wendy's, I think Burger King was in there, a whole bunch of other ones, and it's like shocking to me how much they use some kind of a substitute.
Corners.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know that. They just changed the fries at Chick-fil-A, and they said they're longer and they're crispier, and then everybody's fussing about that. I said, if that's all I had to fuss about in life was whether my French fries are crisp or not, you know, I'd just take it to the house.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
boy, you'd have it made.
there's so much more things in life that are important.
Yeah, yeah, you there know? Really are.
Have you made a New Year's resolution?
No, my one resolution that I made like 10 years ago is to never make resolutions, and I've kept it.
Wow, well, that was easy.
Yeah.
Mine was to save the world.
Oh, my word. Wow. Go for the attainable, that's for sure.
I mean, you know, go for something big.
Yeah.
And don't mess with some small deal.
No. Save the world.
Set out to save the world.
And
yeah.
How are you going to do that? Have you come up with a plan or?
I don't have a plan yet, but that's my deal.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to map it out.
It may take you a year to do it, but
it might take a long time, but at least I'd have something to work on.
Well, yeah, that's true. And if you get a plan, let me know, because I haven't made resolutions in forever, but I'd be willing to jump in on that one, you know, so
okay,
you need help,
well,
let me know.
I think I could get a lot of people to help.
Yeah.
And we'd map it out and go out and just do it.
Yeah. You know, it's like if you're like me and you don't make resolutions, make somebody else's resolution work. So I'm in.
That's exactly right.
That's a good one.
Get on our horses, put the armor on, you know, like they did in the 1800s, and go and save the world.
Yeah, go into battle and march out for a cause. Well, that's a good one, though.
That's right. You got to have a cause. And I figured saving the world was not too big.
Yeah, no. That's just like magic beans. That's all that is.
That's right.
Wow.
And remember, they've got all these flying objects and all this.
Oh.
You know, we could do it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's flying objects everywhere now. Apparently, that's the thing.
Well, what do you think? Do you think those drones in New Jersey is a foreign government, or do you think it's just somebody messing with them?
Well, you know how I am about conspiracy theories. So, you know, I'm all in that there's something weird going on, except I've gone down that road before, and I've had egg on my face. And it turns out it was just like a drone fest or like a some kind of a thing where a bunch of people got together and pulled some kind of a silly prank. So I don't know. You know, the conspiracy side of me says, it's something, bad and terrible and ominous and doom. And then part of me says, well, don't say that out loud because I've been made a fool of before. So what do you think?
Well, you know, my theory is shoot one down and let's see what's in it. That's the way you do that.
See, now that's the calculated analytical way to look at it. I like
that's
that.
That's right. I mean, if you instead of speculation, just go and shoot one down and let's see who's in it.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like we did with, the aliens, take down the
That's
plane.
Right. And if it's a little green man comes out, we'll know.
We'll know. Mystery solved. That's how we handle that.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, then everybody will know and we don't have to worry anymore.
Yeah.
And if a little green man doesn't come out, then we're probably in trouble.
Yeah. So we're hoping for the little green man in this case.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, gosh, I mean, they were, over New Jersey and then over California, and then wasn't there another place that they popped up?
Well, there was a lot of them. That was what was so scary to everybody.
Yeah.
Is they could see so many of them up there.
Yeah. That's weird. I mean, we've been out places before, like on vacation, and we'll see something, strange in the sky. It's like, what is that? And it moves really fast in one direction, and then it does a complete 180 and goes back the other way really fast. And it's not an airplane or a helicopter or anything like that. And then it's like, I can't tell what that is. What is it? And then it turns out it's like a guy with just a drone, just a play toy, messing around. But it gets so distorted, when you're up, you're looking at it from the ground and it's up in the sky like that, the first thing your brain goes to is, oh my gosh, there's something really weird happening. But with that many, it just seems like there might be actually something happening. So I don't know.
It seems like there might be something to it. Maybe we'll find out.
Yeah. Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And I meant to ask you, did you get the lights taken down from the holidays?
I did.
Okay.
This week, in the cold, they came, they took them all down, they packed them away.
Wow.
So we're good to go for another year.
Good. So,
I don't know if everybody got those taken down. I hope they did. I'm always reading all these stories about, I need help to get my lights down.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it all came out. But I know that those people have made enough money, they don't have to work for a while.
Yeah, they're like Santa. They can take the next 3 months off and do nothing.
They can't. At least 3 months, I think 6 months off.
Oh, wow.
If everybody made as much as what, I sat here and did the calculator on it, if you remember.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of money.
It is. I mean, doing lights, that's big business. And, I know it's a lot of work for, over a 2-3 month period, to put them up and then go back and take them down. But, boy, they make a fortune doing those lights.
And the average cost was $1,700.
Good Lord.
$1,700.
Wow.
So, and I asked my guy how many he did, and last year he said that did 45.
Oh, my goodness. See, now I want to do the math now. I can't do the math that fast. But that's a lot. Didn't we figure up it was several $100,000 in the
end?
Yes,
it was.
Yeah.
We figured it $150,000 to $200,000.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, it's dangerous. We know that. But if you've got the crew, you can make a lot of money.
Yeah. And it's long hours on some days. Even if you're doing several houses in one day, it's not like you just pop in for an hour, put them up, and then leave. I mean, it's a several-hour commitment for each one. So,
yeah, it probably takes 2 to 3 hours to do a house, and there's no telling how many houses they did a day. And remember, they started in October.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They were wanting to put people's lights up in October.
Well, the season is having to expand. I would imagine they're probably getting so busy. They've got to, I guess, maybe start a little bit earlier than they used to in the past. So,
they have so many houses to do. They start in October. They finish up, I guess, by December 1st or 2nd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know I scheduled mine and I said I want it the week after Thanksgiving. And they agreed to do that.
Yeah. And then they come back, they schedule the takedown after. I would imagine the takedown's
January.
Quick. Yeah. So
I think it took them probably 2 hours.
Oh, wow. That is a long time, but Yeah, it is big business. You know, we've still got some neighbors that have their lights up. They're probably going to still stay up until probably June.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if you leave them up till June, just leave them all year.
Yeah, you might as well. At that point, it's just like,
But, you know, you have to think about it. If it hails, it's going to break all the bulbs.
Oh.
So you're going to have to replace them. So you should take them down and put them up.
Well, I think they missed the boat on that.
They'll last a lot longer if you do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So, speaking of the holidays, is there any numbers about, you know, how financially the holiday shopping season was? I mean, there was all those deals and specials.
It was up several percentages from the year before. Online shopping is still the biggest thing going. People are shopping online. It's easy. It's quick. And I heard many, many people talk about, you know, the shopping experience online versus going to the stores.
Mm, yeah.
And there was more sales this year. I just can't tell you how many sales I saw online. Mm. And they were good items.
You know, I still miss, you know, Christmas shopping, going to the mall. I know it was a lot of hustle and bustle, and it, you know, can get a little bit annoying and overwhelming, especially with all the other people. But, you know, I still miss, you know, going to the mall and like going in and seeing, you know, the jewelry displays and hearing the music and all the smells that they have in the mall around the holidays. It's like, you know, things are, I don't know, just the perfume counters seem extra fragrant. You know, the even the food court used to seem like it just smelled better. It was a nice warm hug. I still miss that. I mean, online shopping is great and convenient, but I still miss going to the mall. It was something special.
Yeah. Nostalgia with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, nostalgia. Well, I really didn't miss it because I remember how hard it was. You come back with 30 packages that you can't even carry.
Yeah.
Your car is loaded. You've got to carry all that in. You've got to carry it from the mall out to the car. I mean, it's hard work. Shopping is not for amateurs. It's hard work.
Shopping is not for amateurs. Wow.
So shopping is not for amateurs. It's hard work.
It is. So, yeah, I can see why online is taking off. So
you know, it does make a difference.
What about investments? Did we is the year starting off in a good way? Is there good outlooks for this year? Where are people saying that, you know, good times ahead, or what's the general buzz now that we're coming out of the holidays?
Well, I think that that investments will be up. I think people are going to be investing now. I know we've got new customers coming, and I think a lot of people are thinking it's a new year. We're going to have a new president. Times, I think, are going to get better. That's what I'm hearing, that people are going to be more inclined to invest, but they're still going to be conservative. I think everybody is conservative now, and I think that is going to really pay off for them.
Hmm. Well, you know, it's just like, it seems like, you know, the ones that are thinking about more conservative types of investments have been thriving no matter what the situation is. So, you know, whether the forecast for, you know, the next several months is great or it's gloom and doom, it doesn't really seem to matter. The people who are in things like life settlements or annuities, you know, they just, it doesn't matter what actually happens because they've got these conservative investments that are affected by market conditions or global situations or, you know, anything like that. And so no matter what, they're making money. And it just seems like, you know, people who are with you and doing these types of things, they're fine no matter what. And it doesn't matter what people say.
Well, and I think our conservative investments will stand the change of time. You know, the conservative investment is always there. The scary deals come and they go. You know, I don't know how all these new investment deals are going to go in life. I think a lot of people are going to lose a lot, and then there'll be some that are going to make a lot of money. But it's not steady and it's not guaranteed. So the risk is 100%. So, you know, we never know. All these things have not been true and tried. if people are going to try that, or if they're going to stick with something they know will work.
Well, you know, and I guess that, you know, people at some point get done riding the wave of excitement. You know, it's like people start, you know, they get into, you know, like say like the stock market and they may make a little bit. Well, it almost like it produces this I don't know if it's an endorphin thing or what it is, but it makes them, you know, kind of excited. It's like, you know, yes, you know, we're doing well. A little is good. More must be better. And so they'll keep going and they get kind of, I don't want to say blinded, but they get a little bit desensitized to the fact that things could happen. And then when they do, you know, sometimes, you know, people regret it a little bit too late. And so you've got a lot of people that I would imagine, I'm just guessing, but I imagine some people are maybe still have some in the stock market because they like the excitement, but they also want to make sure that they've got some kind of a foundation that's solid where they won't lose their principal overnight to make sure that, you know, their retirement is set up, make sure that, you know, their wealth keeps growing. And so that's why they probably, I would imagine, at least put some, if not a majority of their cash in these types of investment to make sure that they have that foundation that's strong and solid.
Well, I read this week that all these real estate loans are fixing to come due.
Uh-oh.
And that the people cannot pay them.
Oh.
And it's going to affect the banks in a big, big way. That all these people, big investors, we're not talking about the small guy. We're talking about huge, huge loans on these huge apartment buildings, all these office buildings. They say these loans are coming due, and they can't pay. So this is going to affect a lot of banks. They said they think some of the banks will actually fail over it.
Really?
And I hope that doesn't happen, but that's what they're saying, that there might be some banks' failures because these notes are coming due, they can't pay. And when it hits the banks and these people can't pay, it goes against earnings, and then it shows all these deficits. They're in trouble.
Oh, geez.
And it says that a lot of these big-time real estate companies cannot pay.
Wow.
The notes are coming due, and they cannot pay. And, you know, this last year they foreclosed on, you know, some of those huge office buildings in New York.
Yeah. I mean, that was...
And I think there was a couple in Chicago, and these were $100 million notes.
Wow.
And the building that foreclosed in Fort Worth, it has resold now. You know, the banks took it back.
Oh, really?
Tallest building in Fort Worth.
It resold?
Yeah, the bank took it back, and now they've sold it.
Is it going to...
So the banks are going to... they're going to recover a lot of that money that they lost.
Will they keep it as office buildings, or will they, like, turn it into condos?
They said they were going to, but a lot of the others, you're right, they're changing them into condos because as office buildings, they did not work. So we'll see what happens. But the fallout on real estate is yet to come.
Jeez.
So to be sure, I think a steady investment like what we've got that's invested in a life insurance product is the safest thing. There's no real estate involved. There's no notes involved. I mean, it's a much safer investment for the average American.
Yeah.
And, you know, our people are average Americans. They're not New York City. They're not in, you know, New Jersey.
I was waiting for that to come up.
Yeah. I mean, these are people that need to be sure their money is safe. They need to make sure that they're going to make some money. And, you know, if you've got a life insurance product like what we have, I think it's a lot safer investment. People are making money. It works. You know, when you do a life insurance product, you know that the life insurance companies have got the money they'll pay off. They're not going to say, we'll give you half of your money back.
Yeah. It's like, you know, and those are two very good points. And it's really the foundation of the entire investment, because no matter what the condition is, when the policy matures, they don't ever discount, you know, based on anything, market conditions, global situations, climate, whatever. So if there's an ice storm and I don't know, something happens, they don't say, well, you know, gosh, you know, there's too much snow today, so we're going to discount how much it pays out. It always pays out the full value of the policy itself. Plus, the other point you were making is that they actually have the cash on hand. They have the reserves.
They have the cash on hand. You know, when you deal with companies that are worth billions and billions of dollars, they don't have all these real estate loans. They don't have these loans to developers, and that's what makes them safe. They also don't have loans out to Burger King or Pizza Hut, or you know, they don't do franchises. So that takes a lot of the guesswork out. It takes the risk out if you're not doing real estate loans or loans to oil companies. Even we're not talking about your majors. We're talking about the little small ones that go under because they're undercapitalized.
Yeah.
So you know, there's not the speculation that there is in real estate and all these other investments. You know, going in, that it's a life insurance policy. Life insurance had been around, you know, 150 years. You know, people started taking out life insurance when they were writing it with a quill pen. You know,
wow.
They would insure each other. And so life insurance has been around a long time. And we are using life insurance companies that are A-rated. They've been around, you know, a long time. They're worth billions and billions of dollars. So when we put a deal with them, we know that we will get paid. We know that when the time comes, we'll make money.
You know, I think for me, visually, I always default back to that part in It's a Wonderful Life when, you know, there's a run on the bank and people are, you know, wanting their cash. And it's like, well, you know, it's not like in the vault. It's you know, it's in Tom's house and it's in, you know, Bill's house. And it's, you know, it's not like that with life insurance companies. You, since they do have the reserves on hand, they don't have to go try to borrow from somebody else when a policy pays out or anything like that. And that, I would think, is got to be probably one of the, how do I say, one of the most satisfying or comforting, reassuring aspects, maybe, of the investment itself, is that they don't have to go find it or borrow more money to pay it out. It's like all those reserves are there. And that is a very strong foundation. And being in business for over 100 years, I mean, that's a big deal. You know,
it is a big deal. And it's not like the stock market. The stock market can look rosy one day. I mean, lots of times people, they get the rose-colored glasses on. It looks great. But then, you know, it can plummet a week later.
Yeah.
And when it does, your earnings just went down the tubes. So, you know, if you've got a steady-as-you-go investment that's in a life insurance policy, it's a lot better than being in the stock market and knowing it can go up and then crash. And remember, when it crashes every time and comes back down, your loss is real. You know, they take that off of your profit.
Yeah.
So in order to make a profit, you've got to keep a profit going all year. Had you thought about that?
Mm.
You can't have a downturn four or five times during a year and make any profit. Because if it's not positive all the way, you didn't make a profit.
And that's tough to maintain. I mean, that's virtually impossible to always be on an uptrend.
That you've got to in order to make money.
Yeah.
And as you get older, it depends what your risk tolerance is. Can you take 100% or 1,000% risk, or would you rather not?
Yeah.
If you'd rather be steady as you go, a life settlement is the place to be, or even an annuity. Because remember, an annuity mirrors the stock market. It's not in the stock market. Your money's always in the annuity. It's safe. And when the market goes up, you get paid. If the market goes down, it just holds steady. It's got a stop loss. You won't lose any money.
Yeah.
And we actually got a deal back this week on a customer that made 23% last year.
Really? Wow.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
I may frame it.
Yeah.
I might frame that one. Oh, me. Because it was more than I was expecting, let me tell you.
Wow. I mean, 23%, that's a big deal. That's fantastic.
It is a big deal. I started to, it was time to see about changing their deal for the end of the year, and I looked at it and I said, we're not changing that. I said, we're going to let that ride another year just like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the other thing. On annuities, you can change them every year. If one thing doesn't look like it's making as much, change it to something else. You've also got the bonus still going that we thought months ago they were going to cancel. It looked like it when things were getting a little bit rough you know, the interest rates were going down. But now they've still got that 13% on annuities. And every time you put money in for 3 years, you'll get that bonus. So that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And so both investments are in life insurance products. So whichever way you choose to go, I've got a new client that's going to do both. Going to put some in life settlements and some in annuities. Now, I find that a lot of people in their 60s, 70s are still raising grandchildren and children. And that's why they're doing the annuities. Because if they drop dead tomorrow, that child or that grandchild will have that annuity to see them through.
See, now that seems smart to me when people do both. You know, just because, you know, you've got the steadiness of the annuity, but then you've also got a chance to make a little bit more, I don't want to call that extra money, but profits are a little bit bigger, I think, in life settlements. So diversifying your portfolio like that, to me, that seems like really the best of both worlds right there.
It is. And it's diversified and diversified. And both of them work a little different, but they're both an insurance product, which is the safest way to go. If you've got an insurance product, like we manage right now, about $100 million.
Whoa.
And, you know, I think we've always maintained about that much throughout the last 10 years.
Wow. And that's all money that's just making money. And it's, you know,
that's
people,
right.
they protect. When you protect the principal, you don't have to worry about, you know, those large losses like in the stock market and things like that. So it just.
That's right. You've always got to protect your principal. If you didn't make any money, as long as your principal was safe, it'd be worth it.
Yeah.
You know, to know that you've got it safe. And, you know, we use. Nevada Trust, they're the trustee on everything we do. And if everybody else used a trustee in the market, can you imagine how that market would change?
Oh, wow. It would be so regulated.
It would be so regulated, they couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
If they had to have a trustee that oversaw the money.
They would explode.
And they don't. They don't have that safeguard. Do you realize there's no safeguards there?
Yeah. It's just you're out there.
The broker's in charge of your money, whatever comes and goes.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes the broker's interest is not necessarily the investor's interest.
That's why they get fired if they're in New York every once in a while.
Yeah.
They fire a bunch of them when they find out the interest of the broker was himself. It was not his clients.
Yeah.
And I told that story the other day. This broker had some favorites, and he'd put them in the really good stocks and things. And the ones that he didn't care as much about, he put them in the losses, and he got caught. And they saw what he did to the clients.
Wow. And it's tough to recover from something like that. And there's not much recourse that you can have, I would imagine, if you get caught in a situation like that.
Well, they can fire them, but what do they do to get your money back?
Well, exactly.
I don't know about that.
Your money's gone, and then you're kind of like stuck at that point. Wow. That's scary.
Well, so it's always good to have a trustee. It's good to deal with a company that's been in business a long, long time, which we have. You know, we're a conservative company. We're not out here, you know, doing crazy things, crazy investments. We're not doing Bitcom. We're not doing, what's the other one called? There's another one.
Oh, I don't know, but the crypto and...
Crypto, yeah. I forgot about crypto. We're not saying, let's do crypto, let's do Bitcoin, let's do all this. You know? I mean, if I don't understand it, how would I make you understand it?
Exactly. That's just...
You know?
I guess it's just, it's almost like throwing a penny in a wishing well and hope it works. It's like, that's
but I love
really...
the idea, you can't see it and can't touch it, and yet people invest in it. For the life of me, I don't know if I'll ever understand that theory.
I don't either.
I mean, because it's not something you can spend. It's not something you can see.
Yeah.
It's a mystery to me. It's a real mystery.
It's like trying to grab a fistful of air. It just doesn't make sense. I can't wrap my brain around it. I don't understand it.
I can't either. I've tried, and I know it takes a lot of electricity to do the Bitcom. And it uses up electricity that we really need here in Texas. But I understand they're mining it.
Yeah, and I don't understand that either. Mining something that you can't see or touch or spend or use, or I don't, I, it doesn't make any sense to me. My brain just doesn't wrap itself around it for some reason. So.
And like the guy said, can I go down here and buy a new truck? I'm with him. Can you imagine some old rancher coming to town and they tell him, we want you to invest in this, and he's doing cattle and horses. Now, that's something he understands. And I imagine he just walks away shaking his head.
Yeah. Probably says a few adult words in the process, but just walk away.
Yeah, and says, you know, I'm going back to the ranch, you know?
Yeah.
And talk to the cattle some more.
Yeah, it would make more sense if you talked to the cattle.
I think it would. I think it'd be a much smarter avenue.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a new year. I'm hoping that people do conservative investing with us. Put some with us. If it works, see if you like us. If it works, you're happy. You'll put more money with us. This happens all the time. I had somebody the other day. He's been with us a long time. He brought us another $200,000. So it's working, you know.
Yeah.
We've got some old policies that we did way, way back. We're still waiting for them. But other than that, the others are coming in on time. They're coming in early. They're doing what they should be doing. The company that we're getting the LAs from, they're very reputable. They're scientists. And I love it.
Yeah. And the data is just getting better as we go through time as well.
It's getting a lot better. And then the people that keep up with all this for us, they're doing a great job. We're getting the death certificates much faster because they're filing the claim while they're waiting on the death certificate.
Yeah.
So it's not taking as long as it used to. So we've speeded that up. We've made a lot of changes year to year that are better for the clients, better for us, and helps us do a much better job.
Yeah, things don't happen. The process itself is not as linear as it used to be. There are a lot of things that happen simultaneously to speed up the entire process. So it's just improved really all the way around.
And then we bought that new system, that's supposed to revolutionize the world. It has revolutionized how we get things done. They're much better than it was, and I love it, but I think there's still other things we could add to it.
So there's still some room to expand and bring some things in to improve the process.
Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
And then we updated our website. It's much better than it was, and people don't go on there and check it, but if they'll go on there, if it's a new client, you can read all about life settlements. You can read about annuities. There's references on there, all kinds of things.
Yeah, tons of data.
And then the Better Business Bureau gave us a report, our annual report with them. We're an A-plus rated company with them. We're an accredited company, have been with the Better Business Bureau all these years. They said there was 9 pages inquiries about our company this last month. That's
good
a lot.
Good Lord. Wow, that's fantastic.
They said it was 9 pages. So a lot of people are looking us up. They're checking us out, and we appreciate that. We want them to. And, another thing is people can always call me on the phone. And this doctor said to me the other day, she said, well, I knew I could call you. She said, you always take our calls, and that's true.
It is. You're an actual person. It's not like people get stuck in a
call center. I'm a real
person.
That's right. We don't do call centers. I hate them. We don't. When I try to get something from Amazon or someone, they don't even know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't. I love Amazon. But, it's bad. The other day, I had a cash deal coming. And it showed I got it, but I didn't, and the money disappeared. So I send a message to Amazon. Can you find this cash and give it back to me? They couldn't understand. They said, we can't quite understand you. It took 3 of them. I had to go through 3 before anybody could understand me.
Oh, wow. So there's a couple hours down the tubes.
That's right. And I took the time because I said, it's ridiculous to let the money go just because it's a small amount.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that would be crazy. So, I mean, every
penny
counts.
I thought it was crazy.
So I don't blame you for
that. So I went back and took the time to get it straightened out.
Cool. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Anthony Quinn, one of my favorite actors.
Cool.
Did you know he was born in Chihuahua, Mexico?
Really? No, I didn't.
And raised in El Paso. And, you know, he studied everything in the world. He studied architecture. He was a fighter. He's done everything in the world. He was a two-time Academy Award winner, 5 Golden Globe Awards.
Oh, wow.
2 BAFTA Awards and a Tony.
Jeez.
And he appeared in over 100 films between 1936 and 2002. The Blood and Sand, 1941. His first film was The Plainsman in 1936. That's how he started. But do you remember the Oxbow Incident? That was one of my favorites.
I don't remember that.
He got his first Oscar for that. Do you remember when he played in Viva Zapata?
Yes.
He played Zapata. And he was the first Mexican-born performer to win an Academy Award.
Wow.
Now, his story is that his dad rode with Pancho Villa.
Really? Oh, yeah. Wow. Now, that's cool.
Yeah. And I was impressed, you know. His father was English, and his mother was Mexican. He said he didn't always fit in. But The Guns of Navarone, which was one of my favorites. He played Lawrence of Arabia, The Guns for San Sebastian, and The Shoes of a Fisherman. Do you remember it?
Wow, you are pulling out titles I haven't thought of in years. Wow.
But I love the one in Zorba. Did you know he had 12 children?
Really? I didn't know that.
12 children. He's married so many times, I can't even tell you all the women.
This is like all those old Hollywood people, 1,000 wives.
It was. I mean, he was married to a lot of them. He had affairs with a lot of them. And his last one was his secretary.
Oh, no.
And he had 2 children by her. And that was his last wife, by the way.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, he said that his father rode with Pancho Villa. His father was an Irish immigrant from Cook County.
Wow. That's
but he grew
impressive.
Up in El Paso. He boxed professionally to earn money. He studied architecture under Frank Lloyd Wright.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Another thing, you remember McPherson, the evangelist, Mamie McPherson that was so famous. He studied under her. He thought about becoming a priest after being around her for a while.
Really? Maybe if he'd done that, he wouldn't have had all those wives.
He wouldn't have had all those wives if he'd have stayed with her. But, yeah, he said that he learned more from her than anybody. And he went to a Catholic school. He thought about becoming a priest. He was just all over the place, you know. And if you remember, he played in The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Mm, yeah.
And he went to Rome, and that's where he played all the religious films. He played with Kirk Douglas, a lot of people. Maureen O'Hara and Sinbad the Sailor. But that was so funny. He said when he was 6 years old, he joined that Catholic church, you know. And then he went to the International Church of the Four Square Gospel. And that Amy McPherson, who was, I remember hearing about her years ago. He played in the church bands. He was an apprentice preacher with evangelists. He said he'd known a lot of great actresses, and not one of them could touch her.
Wow.
I love that story.
Yeah.
He said she could outperform them all.
Yeah.
But he won so many awards. And, you know, they said when he got a little older and wasn't as handsome, that he really did better. And you remember him and Kirk Douglas played in Last Train from Gun Hill. I've seen that so many times.
Yeah.
And he got a Tony Award for Beckett, and that's the only one I don't really remember. And as I said, he played an aging boxer in Requiem for a Heavyweight. But if you remember, he played in Lawrence of Arabia, and he won an Oscar and Golden Globe both for that one. And he co-starred with Peter O'Toole, if you remember.
You know, I just didn't remember all these awards, but and they're all different. You know, it's like there's a wide range of awards. And so just the amount of talent, I guess, is what it represents is, I guess, I'd never really thought about it.
He said he played a Mexican, he played an Italian, he played every kind of man in the world. And of course, you know, when he went to Rome, you know, he played all those years and years ago, those, you know, 1600, 1700 guys. He portrayed Vincent van Gogh, you know, and he fit in. And if you go back and look at all of his movies, I didn't see one that he wasn't good in, not one. And in 1970, he played with Ann Margaret, A Walk in the Spring Rain.
Hmm.
He played with Ingrid Bergman, and it was just called The City, The Man in the City. And then he played Jesus in Jesus of Nazareth.
Wow. You know, you see a lot of these actors and they do very well in one thing, but they can't, they're not always as believable in this much of diversified types of roles. But you bought what he was selling, no matter who he was, where he came from, what he was playing. It's just, it was for some reason, he was like almost like an actor chameleon. You know, he could adapt to anything.
He really could. And if you remember, in 1972, he played Captain Frank Martella and came back to television.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he was all over the place. And in 1976, he played Muhammad, Messenger of God. it didn't matter whether it was out in the desert. You know, he played in that movie Omar Makar, who fought Mussolini in the deserts of Libya. I mean, he went to every country in the world to play.
Yeah.
And in 1990, he played The Old Man in the Sea, which I loved. That was an Ernest Hemingway film.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just not anything he couldn't do. But I loved it because he had 12 children. His first wife, he had the first five with.
Oh, wow. Wow. See, now he stuck with it for a while.
And do you know who his first wife was?
Huh.
It was the adopted daughter, Cecil B. DeMille.
Really?
Catherine DeMille was his first wife.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Yeah. And then he got divorced from her in 65 because he had an affair with an Italian costume designer, Yolanda Adore.
Wow.
And of course he married her and then they had three children. Then he had two with an event producer in Los Angeles and it just went on and on. Then he had his last two kids was with his secretary.
These old, I'm sure they still do it now. I don't know, but it seems like these old Hollywood people, they really had a very different lifestyle.
They did, and it was just, you know, he was a painter and he drew. I mean, he did so many things. You know, studied architecture on Frank Lloyd Wright. I mean, the man was very talented. He took acting lessons, speech therapy. I mean, he did everything. He was taking art classes in Chicago. Can you imagine?
Wow. Just a different, the amount of different things that he was into. And did you say he was in films from 36 to 2002?
Was it 2002?
I don't know.
I was trying to think.
It is a long time. I mean, his career.
Oh, yeah. He had a very, very long career.
Yeah.
And what I like is he could play anything.
Yeah.
You know? It didn't matter what it was. He could play it. Yeah, it was 2001. He was born in 1915.
What a great career, you know? It's just
a great career. All these children, I don't even know. If he hadn't been making millions of dollars, he couldn't even afford it all these
years.
Oh,
my gosh, no. Or the wives.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
that can get expensive.
And one of the libraries in California is named after him.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a brilliant performer all the way around. Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Wow. I just can't believe you're pulling out all these things I hadn't thought of in so long. It's just... I'm going to have to go back.
Well, you'll have to go back and look up his career.
Yeah.
Because it was a brilliant career. How many people could study architecture, boxing, painting, and he was good at everything he did?
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything they've said, well, he just couldn't accomplish it. Like you said, he played every kind of guy in the world, a Mexican, an Italian, a cowboy. I mean, it didn't matter what it is. They'd give him the deal and say, here it is, you know?
Yeah.
And he was on it.
Yeah. Not many people could pull all those off, but Anthony Quinn can do some special things, that's for sure.
And nobody else could have 12 children. I've never heard of anybody with 12 kids.
Yeah, me either.
I mean, that's the most I've ever heard.
I guess he could afford it.
12 kids. Yeah, I mean, you had to keep working if you've got 12 kids.
Yeah, yeah. There's no time for vacation.
No, I mean, and that's why he went to Spain and Europe and worked all over the world.
Yeah.
And then he did some musicals, you know, which I'm in shock.
Yeah. It's just, he just about anything. So, okay, real quick before we wrap, with a life settlement, there are two risks that people do need to know about. Which is the first?
The first one is if it goes over, you'll have premiums to pay. I got a bill this week for $16. Now, it's usually a lot more than that, but he was questioning how we figured it, and we told him, you own 2% of the policy, and it turned out to be $16. But that's the lowest one I've ever heard of. But a lot of them are more. If it's an older policy, it is more, but that is the biggest risk, is you would have to pay premium. And we tell you up front, when you're looking at it, you will know. So we tell you up front what it's going to be. The other risk is it is not liquid till it matures. So you need to always know it's not liquid till it does mature.
Okay. And one does need to be accredited to do a life settlement, which means?
You must be accredited. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house. And that is a federal government rule. It's not my rule.
All right. It's business as usual this coming week, provided you don't have another blizzard and snowstorm.
We're not planning on any snow this next week. Everything's going to be all right. And by Wednesday, it'll be 50 again.
Of course
so
it will.
So on Wednesday, you can come out of your houses.
All right. For people to call, get more information, get started, they do need to set up a thing. So what is your phone number one last time?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.